A fresh week and a fresh catch-up for you Monday with us, Lisa and Pete.
Off the back of the orangutan escape on the weekend, we had Perth Zoo's Curator of Operations, John Lemon, tell us how they handled it and what exactly happened.
Trevor Long, our tech guru, cleared up some of the confusion about the NBN in Perth and the fact that you have to get it.
And the show has been a Corby-free zone. Well, mostly.
This is a Lisa and Pete podcast made in Perth for Perth. On Mix 94.5.
We want to talk about great pet escapes. Off the back of this that happened.
This is not supposed to happen.
Yeah,
guys, you might want to stand back. Hello, it's okay.
Brilliant, isn't it? That is the video footage from the woman who was standing on the boardwalk outside the orangutan enclosure at Perth Zoo as an orangutan escaped it.
Well, yes.
For more on this, we've got John Lemon, who's the curator of operations at Perth Zoo. Thank you so much for coming on the show, John.
Evening, Lisa. Hello. How are you?
John, good. Now just quickly, what happened? The lovely orangutan, Sakara, she's a mum. Her little boy, orangutan, sort of got a bit close to the edge and fell out of the enclosure, I believe, and she went to retrieve him.
Yeah, correct. So following yesterday's incident, Sakara left her exhibit to retrieve her five-year-old son, Sungai, and he'd fallen from the overhead rope into the garden bed. So we've obviously immediately launched the review.
Yes.
Initially, the information suggests that the containment breach occurred due to the youngster falling from some new ropes we've added into the exhibit to provide them with some more three-dimensional exercise space.
Right.
And whilst the review is underway, we've taken some immediate action. Mm-hmm. We've disconnected the overhead ropes. We've moved mum and bub to a back exhibit. And throughout the day, we've obviously had our expert staff monitoring the colony.
Mm-hmm.
And after that, we're confident that reopening the exhibit today was in the best interest of the orangs and the visitors, so we did that.
Well, she was certainly a good girl. She got straight back in, but, obviously it was the circumstances were lucky. Anything could have happened, really, if she got spooked, I suppose, especially if she was going after her son.
Yeah, yesterday's event, was over and done with, about a 15-minute period. Mm-hmm. And as per standard procedure, we removed the visitors from the area. Pretty proud of the staff, the way they conducted themselves.
Well, they did a magnificent job. Now, the people that were there when she was climbing out, did they do the right thing to sort of keep quite calm and still?
Yeah, obviously, they're still wild animals, even though they're held here at the zoo, and that mother was focused on just rescuing her infant.
Yes.
Usually the best thing is just to give the animals a bit of space and let the staff around do what they need to do. And
both of those orangutans, having been checked over by vets, they're all okay, all good?
All good. And obviously
he's grounded. She said, wait till your father gets home. But other than that...
exactly. They're quite really, really close to their youngsters. And, the bond's actually phenomenal. So, she wouldn't let it too far out of her sight. Mm. And they're doing well today.
Good.
And it looks like you guys have got all your safety in check and everything. I mean, the response for what happened yesterday was just fantastic, mate. Yeah. So thank you so much for coming
John.
On the show. We appreciate your time, John.
Pleasure. Thank you.
See ya.
John Lemon, bye-bye. Curator of Operations at Perth Zoo there. We want to talk to you, Perth, about your great pet escapes, Aaron in Mosman Park.
Oh,
hey, Aaron.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Good.
Apparently, you're the favourite.
I am the favourite. Yes.
What happens?
The amazing Tyson, the very smelly half sort of bully kind of dog who just smelt everywhere he went.
Right.
But I need to make that very clear because it's part of the story. But there you go. My sister she lived 6 km away.
Yeah.
And the dog kept escaping all the time, jumping the normal fence, all that sort of stuff. And every single day it would leave her place and make the 6 km journey to my house and then sit on my front, mat. They actually made the fence 8 foot tall and he still made his way out.
Oh my God.
Yeah. So we did that for 3 months until we gave up. And then I had a beautiful dog who smelled.
Oh, you just acquired him. Either that or she had to just go by your house every day and pick him up.
And that's right. And he was a great dog, beautiful nature, but a bit rough around the edges. And, He just liked me to walk past and go, hey, Ty, that was it. That was our entire relationship. But, 12 years together. It was pretty special.
That's gold,
thanks,
Aaron.
Thanks, Aaron.
Thanks, mate.
No worries.
Yvonne, hello.
Yvonne.
Hello. How are you?
You're Aussie's keeper, I believe, the West Coast Eagle.
That is correct.
The
yes,
West Coast correct. Eagle.
Wow.
And one day he escaped.
Yes. This is about 8 years ago from a training session on a Thursday. afternoon, and during our training session, she decided that she wanted to go and have a look at what was around the area, and instead of coming back into the ground, she travelled all the way through to Northbridge.
Yes.
First of all, she stopped on the SciTech building, and then she proceeded into Northbridge.
Did so, did she bring back a Euros?
No. I actually had to pack up all the equipment, drive into Northbridge before she would actually come.
Come
down. So this ordeal took about 2.5 hours.
Oh.
If people remember, I had the radio stations calling me and telling me where she was through Northbridge.
Exciting.
Channel 7, Channel 9, Channel 10, the ABC following me in their
band. Probably trying to keep it low-key.
Yeah, no, and they wanted to get interviews from me, and I said, I just want to get my bird back.
Oh, well, 8 years ago, a lot of the Eagles like going into Northbridge. Doing a recce. Yes. Thanks, Yvonne.
Thanks, Yvonne.
Thank you very much.
Sorry, Joanna in Henleybrook.
Joanna, did your miniature pony really escape and come back in a taxi?
He sure did.
Oh, tell us the story.
Well, I lived in Albany at the time, and she escaped. I lived on the Albany Highway.
Right.
Because we'd been trained, owned a hotel down there, and we'd been training her for harness. So we'd been walking around the streets with her, and everyone got to know Muffin. You know,
of course, yes.
She was a local celebrity a little bit. And then when she escaped, we didn't know where she was for hours. And then peep on the horn in the driveway, and there was Muffin in the back of the taxi.
But you had to pay.
We had to pay $250.
No way.
Dear Muffin, bless her heart, had got a little nervous, as horses do.
Yes.
And had left her calling card all over the back seat.
Well, there's signs about that in taxis. Yes.
Was it what kind of a taxi was it? Was it a big people mover, or was it just your regular run of the mill taxi?
No, it was just a run of the mill sedan.
No.
Muffin was only a little miniature horse.
Oh, how cute.
Great. Lise, I am about to connect to the NBN.
Me too. Mm-hmm. Like, my box or new sort of thing that I need is at the post office. I wasn't there when they came this morning, so I got the card.
Oh, so
I'll be picking it up tomorrow. I'll race you.
You've already... No, well, you're like about a month ahead of me, right?
You haven't seen me put my thing together yet.
A little bit different. You're about at that stage where everything's ready and you just got to plug it in. Where I'm at the stage where I'm like... Well, who is going to help me connect? I don't know which company to go with, which one's the best, so on and so forth.
Oh, yeah, I've got that.
For more information on this to help us out a little bit, because there's a lot of people out there in the same boat, our tech guru, Trevor Long from EFTM.com.au, joins us. Thank you so much for coming on the show, mate.
No worries. Good afternoon. Does it trouble you that I'm in the exact same situation as you?
Mate, guess who? Yours is at the post office, or is Pete?
No, mine is close. I'm at the point of deciding who to go with and waiting for it to be configured at my home.
So you've dug your own ditch.
Right? The NBN is this thing we've talked about for years, but it's like 70,000 properties a week are now being connected. So it's really ramping up. So you'll hear so much more about it now. And some people don't realise that you have to connect if you want a phone line or internet at home. There's no choice. After 18 months, you'll be disconnected if you don't connect to the NBN.
So this is kind of like
one of those, like the TV thing.
Yeah.
Yes. It's a great analogy. It's like the analog switch off. If you didn't get a new TV, it just stopped working. So if you want a landline and or internet at home, you must get an NBN connection. And you've just got to wait until it becomes available in your area. And from that point, the number one advice I have is shop around.
Trev, I've got this is where I have a problem with this, though, right? Because there are a lot of people out there. One of them is our guy who runs our website here and also talks to us about apps every couple of weeks, Dan the Internet. And they go ahead, they sign on with a company. He signed into a contract with Optus after doing his shopping around. And yet he's not getting the 25 down, 5 up that he's paying the $100 a month for. And this is the real issue that I have, because I don't feel confident in the internet service providers out there to go to them and say, all right, are you going to be able to give me what you're promising here? Because a lot of them these days seem to not have the answers.
Two problems there. Firstly, signing to a contract seems like a great deal, but in the end, you're locking yourself into possibly garbage. So I'm going to sign up to one and then change to another to see who can provide the best speed. Because critically, even though the NBN is the same for everyone, each internet provider has to buy enough space on the internet for all the users they have. So one will be faster than another. The ACCC, the government's own body, is going to start monitoring this and reporting which telcos are faster than the others. You just need to pay for the right amount of speed and you need to keep your telco honest.
Versus the rest of the world, how are we when it comes to how much we pay for internet? Because 25 down, 5 up, your basic package that most people out there are getting, they're still paying $80 a month, $85 a month for.
And you know why people are paying that amount? Because they're going with the existing telcos. The existing telcos, Telstra, Optus, all those kind of guys, can't reduce their prices dramatically because all the people who aren't on NBN will get upset that they're having to pay so much. So keep your eye out for companies like Aussie Broadband, MyRepublic. Vodafone's going to start doing NBN because they've got no legacy issues. They're just going to go, you know what? What about $60? So you need to go with the smaller carriers to get price value, but then you have a bigger fear over speed. So if you've got a written guarantee, man, I'd be very happy.
So the big ones that I won't name names, but one may have used to have been called Telecom, they are relying on keeping people like me more so out of habit than loyalty.
Yes. Yeah, they just want to send you a new modem and go, well done, you're on the internet again.
That's exactly what I'm waiting for.
So $60 is the bullseye for a 25 down connection. About $100 is the bullseye for a 100 down connection, which is about the maximum speed we can get with our local connections here. And for people thinking to themselves, you know, how many gigabytes of data should be able to get on that plan as well? What's the bullseye there?
Oh, if you're a family, I'd want you to have at least 500 gigabytes. Because, you know, your kids will be doing stuff, you'll be doing stuff. But if you're just an average show, maybe a single or a couple, you probably only need 250 to 500. So get as much as you can and as much as you can afford to pay and monitor your usage month by month and then reduce it down. Don't pay for more than you need. And remember, you have to connect.
Right.
This is the big fallback. A lot of people forget that after 18 months, you've got 18 months, but in that time, find a good plan and connect, because otherwise you're going to get disconnected. And there's no point avoiding it. It's actually better internet if you pay for the higher speed.
Trevor, appreciate your time, mate. Thanks for clearing that up a little bit.
A pleasure.
Thank you so much, Trevor.
Trevor Long's our tech guru from EFTM.com.au. We'll keep an eye on this, mate, and get you back on at some point.
Cheers, guys.
Okay, Liz.
All right.
Let's get this out of the way. Chappelle Corby's home.
She's back. She's in Brisbane. She's possibly at the Brisbane Sofitel, although her mum, Rosalie Rose, reckons she's in Cairns. I reckon that's what Chappelle just told Rosalie when Rosalie rang and said, you're doing a shift at the fish and chip shop on Sunday. She said, no, I can't. I'm in Cairns.
So did you watch any of the Chappelle stuff over the weekend at all?
I missed it, unfortunately. But I know what would have happened.
What?
Well, there would have been a throng of media around her car leaving her home in Indonesia all the way to the immigration office at the airport, and then a throng of media waiting at the Brisbane airport for her. And apparently she made a fool of all of them with decoy car convoys.
Decoy
that's a hard one to say.
Convoys.
Decoy car. We got ourselves a decoy car convoy.
I think the funniest headline that I've seen over the weekend was from another radio station. I think they're on the Gold Coast, 95.3 or something like that, saying, tomorrow morning on the show, exclusive, we talked to the person who sat behind Chappelle Corby on the flight home.
Really?
Yeah. And
did the television stations just have journos booked on every flight out of Bali that night or something?
I think they were. They were stationed just about everywhere.
Everyone coming to Australia
anyway.
They've
picketed the house of the Corby family. It's just been insane. The other thing that I saw was the handbag with a picture of William Tyrrell on it.
This is what was interesting. She, of course, emerged from her house in Bali holding a handbag with a picture of the missing little boy, William Tyrrell, on it. The Where's William campaign, of course, is quite big online. This is the little boy that went missing in his Spider-Man outfit, isn't it?
That's right, yeah.
Well, the Where's William campaign has moved very quickly to distance itself from Chappelle and her family and her supporters, and they appreciate that Chappelle has shown concern regarding little William's disappearance, but they had nothing to do with whatever was going on with that. And some sort of cynical views is that she was just sort of using it as a bit of a distraction, which wouldn't be nice. And I think if you're going to suddenly put, when you know you're going to be all over the media, you're going to suddenly put little William's picture on your bag, you probably should say something to the family about what your plan is.
I agree with you, actually. That's a really good point to hear from her about
whatever
it.
Whatever your plan was.
Like, I got to admit, my first thought seeing those pictures was I felt a little bit dirty watching
that. It was a bit, well, what's this about?
Yeah.
Why William? You know,
especially given the fact that they, you know, for the whole weekend, the whole family has really been playing silly buggers with the whole media. Like, they've really been enjoying the fact that they've been able to taunt everyone. everybody and throw them around. But at the same time, I feel like the media itself has themselves to blame to, you know, to cover every square inch of what's going on.
And there's two such sort of different viewpoints coming out within the media itself today. You know, you've got one station still going very heavy this morning, and then you've got Carl Stefanovic saying, this is ridiculous. We should be ashamed of ourselves. We're acting like a, you know, a pack of fools chasing her around.
Lisa Wilkinson, I saw part of that chat, and she made a really good point. I think it's the point that you're alluding to, is that there are, and she's one of them, you know, people who have for so long seen information come from the Corby family speaking on behalf of Chappelle.
Yeah.
Now what she wants is to see Chappelle actually tell her story herself.
I'd love to hear Chappelle's story. She'd have to do it for free, I imagine. Because
proceeds of crime.
Yeah, and I assume that that crosses over countries, that it wouldn't just be in Bali, that she can't proceed from crime. I think it's herself. But, you know, maybe sometimes it's best to do one interview, get it done, and then, you know, you'll soon find out how things have changed with social media, Chappelle. You'll be forgotten pretty quick.
Oh, I tell you what, she...
You'll be usurped by the next lot of contestants on The Bachelor.
You know
what? Or maybe that's what
I was
going to say. Corby needs a hubby.
We've got Sophie Mark.
We've got a new show.
Oh, God, could you imagine? You know what?
Wants a wife.
The stuff
nice
that...
country life, Chappelle.
Oh, far out. The stuff we've seen lately, wouldn't put it past him.
Nothing would surprise
me. And on that note, we're going to declare the rest of the show Corby free.
Yes.
And we hope you enjoy that fact. But yeah, look, we just thought we'd touch on it because everybody else is and we've got to tick the box. But let's move on, shall we?
Mix 94.5's Lisa and Pete, made in Perth. Join them weekday arvos from 4 on Mix 94.5.